Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. Now, if you are an investor or someone thinking of investing, you've probably heard about cryptocurrency lately. Crypto is basically an unregulated, off-the-grid type of currency that has governments upset. Why? Mainly because they can't regulate it. Amen. But there's a lot of misinformation out there and a lot of different choices if you decide this is something that you want to do. To help us get a little better understanding of cryptocurrency, and more specifically, the big boy in the room, Bitcoin, we have our guest today who happens to be a Bitcoin expert, praise God. Patrick Melder is an ear, nose, and throat surgeon and a sleep specialist. He trained at Walter Reed Army Medical Center and was on active duty with the Army for 13 years. He left the Army in 2006 as a lieutenant colonel and started his private practice career. Patrick holds nearly 30 U.S. and international patents. Patrick's been involved in church ministry from positions as an elder and lay missions pastor, and he's passionate about God's mission to the gospel to the ends of the earth. Patrick's also a serial entrepreneur. He first learned about Bitcoin back in 2013, but made his first purchase in 2018 and has held it ever since. He's written extensively about Bitcoin's truths and the impact it has on believers and non-believers. Patrick also hosts his own weekly podcast, Mission Bitcoin. This is an interview podcast focusing on Bitcoin and Christianity, exploring Christian responsibility and adapting Bitcoin, how Bitcoin can help Christians align with God's plan, and how Bitcoin can be used to fund Christian missions. He's also authored a book titled Bitcoin for Churches. Help me welcome to the program, Dr. Patrick Melder. Patrick, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come on the program and discuss this important topic. I do appreciate your time.
Well, Robert, I'm excited, and you can follow me around anytime and talk like that and announce who I am. That was awesome. Thanks so much, Robert. Thanks so much.
Well, the first question I always ask is this: other than that brief information I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is Patrick Melder?
Wow, that's a great question. We probably all search for that question. Patrick is a believer, follower in Christ. That is passionate about God's kingdom, expanding God's kingdom. And, you know, with this new life in Bitcoin, passionate about exploiting or leveraging Bitcoin's technology to further God's kingdom. That's what I'm about. Absolutely.
Amen. Amen. Well, a lot of people want to know about Bitcoin, especially right now because of the recent gains and the highs, and it's been in the media. But most people don't know anything about it. You know, what is it? How do they trade it? It's called cryptocurrency. So let's just start there. What is cryptocurrency, and why has it become important in today's financial circles?
Well, those are great questions. And I think, Robert, usually when I'm talking with fellow believers, I like to separate the investment case from the moral case. Because, as you know, before the show, we were kind of talking about, you know, growing up and trying to invest in different things. And, you know, unfortunately, what you find when you start going down what we call in the Bitcoin circles the rabbit hole, you start learning about our financial system. And our financial system is corrupt. And it's corrupt. It is corrupt, and it has been corrupted, and we've been in this corrupt system for about 100 years. And so because of that, when we think about taking our money and doing something to increase its value, we think of investing, and we have to become experts in investing. So, you know, we all work jobs, but a lot of us are trying to save on the side or become experts in day trading or picking the right stocks or whatever. And, you know, God did not intend us to have basically two jobs, one that we're you know, should be focused on. And the other one, we kind of hope we're good at. And if we mess up, then we lose our life savings. And that's not God's plan for us. God's plan for us is to honor him and our work. And in the process, through biblical principles, save. And in the end, at some point, we will benefit of the bounty of our hard work and our savings. That's God's plan. But, you know, the American dream includes doing that. And, oh, by the way, we don't realize it, but we intuitively know it. Inflation is devaluing the value of the dollar. You know, asset prices are going up and we feel like we have to kind of catch up. And so if we think like that as Christians, that's a fiat, what I would say is a fiat mindset, and that's not a godly mindset. So I'm happy to talk about the investment case for Bitcoin, but I think for Christians as believers, we really need to look at Bitcoin from the moral case and escaping the corruption of the system that we're in and aligning ourselves with God's priorities, God's time preferences. And so that's the way I look at Bitcoin. And when I first came to Bitcoin, it was just like anybody else. And just like you did the intro, I did it for an investment because of its returns. But as I started actually studying Bitcoin, I became morally convicted that our financial system is corrupt and Bitcoin remarkably provides us an escape hatch, a morally acceptable and Christian escape hatch from our corrupt moral system. So that's kind of the framework that I like to discuss Bitcoin in.
Okay, but the term cryptocurrency, it sounds like mysterious, you know? I mean, can you explain what cryptocurrency is?
Absolutely. So as we think about cryptocurrencies, crypto is not mysterious. Crypto is cryptography. So, and currency is money. All right. So basically, cryptocurrency is a money that is secured through cryptography. For instance, this interview that you and I are having right now is encrypted, most likely using the SHA-256 algorithm. When you do a search on Google, or if you're logging into your bank account, it's encrypted using the SHA-256 encryption algorithm, which was developed by the NSA, the National Security Agency. So that's what cryptocurrency is. It's using cryptography to encrypt the money so that it cannot be hacked or broken. That's what a cryptocurrency is. Yeah.
Okay.
One of the misnomers with Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies in particular, and I really like to focus on Bitcoin, but Bitcoin's completely verifiable. Anybody can go on to the Bitcoin blockchain and verify it. So it's not hidden. It's just encrypted so that you can't hack it.
Okay. All right. That makes a lot more sense then. But, you know, another thing, we hear a lot about mining Bitcoin and blockchains and things like that. Can you briefly explain what those terms mean for our listeners?
Absolutely. So think of the blockchain as a standard chain link, you know, steel chain. And a blockchain is like a chain link steel chain, you know, that you would tow a car with. But it's a digital chain, okay? And in addition to that, you know, with the standard chain, if you could get a bolt cutter, you could just kind of use the bolt cutter and cut the chain and it would release. The blockchain is a digital chain that cannot be, there's no digital bolt cutter that can cut that chain, okay? So that's kind of conceptually or visually what a blockchain is. But if you think about, you know, this concept of blockchain, you really have to understand that money, when you are exchanging money or transferring money from like Bank of America to Wells Fargo, you're taking money from one ledger at Bank of America because, you know, there's not physical cash that you're going to be moving from one bank to another. You're moving electronic zeros and ones from one ledger, from one database to another database. And that's a ledger from Bank of America to the ledger at Wells Fargo. Well, Bitcoin is money that's on a ledger. It's on a digital ledger, but it does not reside within a central database at Bank of America or Wells Fargo, but it's the same principle. And so that's what a blockchain is. It's a digital ledger, and it's digitally secured through cryptography and cannot be broken with a digital bolt cutter. And one of the other interesting aspects to Bitcoin, and actually the most fascinating aspect to Bitcoin, is the fact that it's what we call decentralized. So next to my computer here at home, I have a node, what we call a node. And there are thousands, tens of thousands of these nodes around the world. And I hold a copy of the Bitcoin blockchain on this node. And I am part of the system that validates the security of the Bitcoin blockchain. So there's not a giant server or servers that are housed somewhere that holds Bitcoin. Bitcoin is distributed so that if there's a widespread nuclear attack or the electrical grid goes down or something like that, and the only thing that is holding the Bitcoin blockchain is this node next to my computer, we could restart the entire Bitcoin blockchain with this single node. And you can imagine, if the servers at Wells Fargo or Bank of America were blown up or destroyed, then all of our accounts would be, you know, nothing. But the beauty of Bitcoin is that it's distributed and can be restart, you know, very easily if something were to happen.
Oh, cool. That's cool. But how do they mine it? I mean, if it's digital, how do they mine Bitcoin?
Okay, so that's an excellent question. So the node that I have next to me is not a miner, it's just a node. A miner is a specific computer that actually goes through a process of computational power to solve a complex mathematical problem. So that's a little deep, but when Bitcoin mining first started, you could mine Bitcoin on a laptop computer. And then at one point, as the work that was involved in mining became more and more difficult, you could actually string laptops together. And then it went to graphic processing units, like, you know, computers that are used for gaming. And then now they use what are called ASIC miners, application-specific integrated circuits, that actually mine Bitcoin. And that's all they do. You know, you can't check your email on it. You can't surf the web. All they do is mine Bitcoin. So what is mining? So the basic process of mining is taking the Bitcoin blockchain ledger, validating and verifying what should be the next block in the chain. And the way to do that is the computers have to compute and solve a problem, okay? And the mining process is done through what's called proof of work, which is taking energy and putting it into a miner. And through that process of computational power and number crunching, they figure out what the next puzzle piece is in the blockchain. And that's what mining is. Now, what's unique about mining is with Bitcoin, Bitcoin had for the first time in the history of digital computational power, we've been able to link the physical world with the digital world. So before Bitcoin, you and I could sit in front of a computer and we could kind of push the return key or run a program, and we could make, you know, e-cash. We could make money digitally, but we couldn't validate how much time and effort and energy went into that actual process. And so that makes it hard to value something when you can't actually compute how much time and energy went into it. Well, with Bitcoin, because of this process called proof of work, we can actually validate how much energy and time has gone into mining Bitcoin. So there's a real world value to the value of Bitcoin through this process of proof of work and mining. So that may be a little complicated, but it's a very unique aspect of Bitcoin that was never achievable before Bitcoin was invented. And it's the ability to actually validate how much real world physical energy has gone into a digital product. And the other interesting thing about Bitcoin is, as a digital product, it's the first digital and it's the only digital product in the history of computing that cannot be replicated. So if I sent you an email or I sent you an MP3 song, you could take a screenshot of it or you could copy it. You cannot copy Bitcoin. And that's the most unique thing about Bitcoin is that you can't copy it. And the amount of quote unquote coins that have been programmed into Bitcoin is fixed at 21 million coins, hence the name of my podcast, Mission 21M or Mission Bitcoin. But the amount of coins is fixed at 21 million. So it's the most scarce. It is the scarcest digital item in the world, and some would say probably one of the most scarce items in the history of mankind, because it can't be except for like the Hope Diamond or something like that, one-offs. But its scarcity makes it extremely valuable, and that's why we see the price of it continue to rise.
So there's only going to be, you said, 21 million Bitcoins total?
That's correct. And about 18.5 million have been mined so far. And over the next 110 years, the remaining 1.5 million will be mined. And that process is called halving. And so when the Bitcoin blockchain was first launched in 2009 by Satoshi Nakamoto, the amount of Bitcoin that were mined every 10 minutes was about 50 Bitcoin every 10 minutes. And now it's down to 6.25 Bitcoin. And so in 2024, there will be yet another what we call mathematical halving, and we will go down to 3.15 coins. And it will continually become deflationary over the next 110 years until the entire 21 million are mined.
Wow. So it has a half-life, and the half-life is what's making more Bitcoin. And that's what's making it more rare.
That's correct. That's right. So I'm not sure I would use the term half-life. It's called a halving. Half-life from my medical background, a half-life means that it will decay at some point. But halving, meaning that, think about a ruler and you cut in half, and it'll take many, many, many halvings to get down to, no more of the ruler. And if you schedule it on a timeline every 4 years, as the program has been encoded, then it will take 110 years to completely exhaust the halvings.
Wow. Okay. And who was it that first created Bitcoin, and why? Why did they do this?
That's a great question. The creator is Satoshi Nakamoto. We don't know who Satoshi Nakamoto is or was. It could be a he, she, they. It could be a group of people. But he launched it on All Saints Day, the same day that Martin Luther nailed his 95 thesis to the Wittenberg door, October 31st, 2008. He explained the Bitcoin blockchain, officially started it in January of 2009, so about 3 or 4 months later, after he received some initial feedback from the coding. And he was around for about 2 years in email exchanges and mail groups and stuff like that, and then he just disappeared. So some think that he was a programmer who ended up, dying from, I don't know, maybe ALS or potentially committed suicide. We just don't know who he was. And the unique thing about Satoshi is he, through his own mining process, when he launched the blockchain, he has accumulated, if he was alive today, he has access to 1 million Bitcoin. And in today's terms, we're talking, that's like $46 billion. And just from a man's perspective, to have $46 billion and not reveal yourself as the inventor of Bitcoin would be extremely hard not to take that sort of glory for yourself. So by all accounts and history, he's no longer with us.
Wow.
And that's and that makes it even more incredible, because not only is Bitcoin not controlled by a person, we don't even know who that person is. And that's ultimately why we call it freedom money, because it is ultimately unconfiscatable. No one can shut Bitcoin down.
Amen. Amen.
Well, yeah.
You know, I remember back, we talked before the recording started, you know, I guess, I don't know, 5, 6, 8 years ago, whatever. You know, it could have been a bit more, but it seems like Bitcoin back then, because I was looking at some, you know, places to invest a little bit, and Bitcoin was like, you know, $30 a coin or whatever. But, and I was kind of putting some money into it, but I decided, yeah, this is probably a fad, and it's just going to end up going to zero. Have you ever heard others say the same thing? I mean, surely I couldn't be the only one.
You're not. No, absolutely not. I mean, that's the kind of the major objections, Robert, to Bitcoin is it's a scam. It's a fad. It's going to go to zero. You know, even within Christian circles, one of the things I had to struggle with is, you know, is this the mark of the beast? And so yeah. I did some study of that. I had a friend of mine that actually wrote a nice article debunking that. But, you know, is it going to go to zero? The question, is it possible that it could go to zero? Yeah, it's possible, but is it likely? No. If you look at the price chart of Bitcoin, it's never gone to zero. And there are real mathematical reasons why it will never go to zero. But that's an objection you have to answer. Is it a scam? No, it's not run by any one person. And, you know, people purchase Bitcoin not from another person. They purchase Bitcoin based on their understanding of it and conviction of it. And of course, you have to go to an exchange or something like that to purchase it, but you're not buying it from, you know, Tesla. So if Bitcoin was made by Tesla, could it be potentially a scam? Yeah, potentially be a scam, but, you know, it's not controlled by a single entity. And that's one of the major reasons why it's not a Ponzi scheme as well. No one person controls it. No one is trying to say that you're going to get these sorts of returns from Bitcoin. That's another thing about Ponzi's. There's no complicated paperwork with Bitcoin. Everybody has access to it. So it doesn't even fulfill the basic criteria for a Ponzi scheme. And, you know, honestly, just as from an integrity perspective, I wouldn't be on this podcast if it was a Ponzi scheme. And no one's going to be able to come to me and buy Bitcoin from me. I'm here to just educate people, and I'm not here to promote any certain, you know, website or exchange or anything like that. I'm here to promote and tell Christians about the power of Bitcoin, and hopefully avail themselves of this incredible quote unquote investment opportunity. But I've seen just a tremendous truth within Bitcoin. I've led a militant atheist Bitcoiner to the Lord using the truths of Bitcoin. And I just completed discipling him through the book of John. And it was a wonderful experience. And Bitcoin, the truths within Bitcoin that are so parallel to Christianity, and we can go over all that if you want to, but that allowed me to walk this man to faith in Christ.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. You know, I know that I see a lot of governments of this world concerned about Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. You know, why is that?
Well, I think the most fundamental reason for that, Robert, is you know, as Christians, we need to honor governments. They are instituted to protect us, but ultimately, governments are institutions of men, and institutions of men are corrupted. And the way that governments can ultimately control us is through money. And if the government, and the reason for that is, if we think about what money really is, money is time. Okay. So we all say that money's time, but not really understanding what that means is that, you know, the way I like to describe it is, if I walk into a store, a toy store, and I take my dollar bill and I hand it over to the clerk and I exchange it for that plastic toy made in China, I'm taking my time. I'm taking my value because I worked for that money. That's my time. And I'm handing it over to something that is really not worth that much. But we have, over the last several decades, we have lost touch with understanding the connection between money is our time, is our life, and is our labor. And so when the government can create money out of thin air, which is what our government's been doing, you know, 40% of all the money ever created in the United States has been created in the last 18 months. 40% of all the money. So if money is time, they have devalued our time. Okay. So that's why we're all having to work harder, is because they've devalued my time. So I have to work harder to save, so that if I want to retire early, then I'm going to have to work that much harder. And so that's why governments don't like Bitcoin, because it allows me to say, no, I want to opt out of the system. I want to I don't want to be a slave to the government. I want to do with my time what I want. And if you can't manipulate my time, then I can, you know, really just say to heck with you. And that's why ultimately why governments don't like Bitcoin, because if they can't control our time, if they can't control our money, they ultimately can't control us.
Yeah. Amen. Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of this great informative interview with Dr. Patrick Melder, but this is only part one of an absolutely amazing three-part interview. Yes, Patrick Mel will be back with us the next two episodes to continue this fabulous discussion about Bitcoin. Amen. Folks, cryptocurrency is no longer just a fad. It's real. It's something, as you heard Patrick Melder discuss, that can be used by Christians, not if, but when a financial collapse happens. We see the handwriting on the wall already. You need to protect yourself, your family, and continue to support the work of ministries to reach as many people as possible with the gospel. Go down to the show notes and reach out to Patrick Melder. Listen to the podcast. Definitely, most definitely, order his book, The Christian Case for Bitcoin. Just click the links and begin to study this out for yourself. And be sure to come back for the next couple of episodes as we continue this discussion of Bitcoin for churches. Until then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.